Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 308, part 2, the conclusion to Untangling. Today is Sunday, September 8th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
You'd say you were sorry if the banker said, I'll let you have this loan if you'll say, I'm sorry. You were telling me about that ad they had on where they said a certain bank, was it what, First National or something like that? I don't know. They're all crooks anyway, so it doesn't matter. But anyway, yeah, they are. They're all crooks. I hope a banker gets a hold of this. You're just all crooks. That's all it is to it. You spend all of our money and send it down there to Mexico and bad business deals and spend it on nuclear energy and everything, and now we got to pay for it for 50 years. They just made a deal down there in Mexico and everybody got rich, that's all. Split the pie. I mean, they aren't that dumb. They didn't just send the money down there and they got it all. Hey, there'd be another Alamo if that happened, believe me. The bankers would be up there. Jim Bowie and them guys wouldn't even be in the picture. No, they didn't lose it. You lost it. So anyway, say you're sorry. I'm sorry. Are you double sorry with a cherry on top? Double sorry with a cherry on top. Huh? Say you love us. We love you. It's about what you have to do, isn't it? You're able to do that to the bank when you can get something out of it, aren't you? Double sorry, cherry on top. I love you, I love you, I love you. Sir, we love you. Our whole family, kids, come on now. Say all together, we love the banker, we love the banker. Huh? You say it or you won't eat for a month. Right? What's that on the radio? Doesn't sound too spiritual for you? No, there's too much truth in it. That's what the thing is. See, I say that when I feel a letter coming my way. How many hearing this message today? Okay, radio audience. Turn your Bibles to chapter Matthew 5 and 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Are you hearing this? Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manners of evils falsely against you on account of me. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Are you hearing this? You are the salt of the earth. Are you salty? But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out, trampled underfoot by men. Now it goes on. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, and you're all cities. Bible refers to you in the kingdom of heaven. Each glow worm, each person, each light tower is a city set on a hill. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand. They put it up there where everybody can see it. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and what? And glorify your Father who is in heaven. You do everything for the glory of God. All of it. And when you do it for the glory of God, you share in that glory. You're the city that glorifies God, that's set on a hill. You're that lamppost that God uses. And if it doesn't happen, it says in the book of Revelations, it will be withdrawn. Now, I'm not talking about your salvation now. I'm talking about your usefulness. Well, you say, I'll forgive, but I can't forget. I'll forgive you, but I'll never, ever forget it. Never. Why? You're waiting for the person to do the same thing again. Now, you pray the Lord's Prayer again and see how it looks. Okay? Father, forgive me as I forgive others. Well, how do you forgive others? Halfway? Well, that's all the forgiveness you're going to get if you ask God, forgive me as I forgive others. In other words, I forgive that person, but I won't forget it. You forgive me the same way, Father. Forgive me, but never forget any of my sins. Forgive me in the same way, Father. You forgive my sins, in other words, Father, but don't forget them. When I sin, bring them all up. Woo! One by one. Well, that'd be like God talking to me and saying, Paul, you're no good. I knew it. There's no hope for you. You're rotten. Remember the time you sinned in 63? And then we're going to go through the whole list here. Here, grab a hold of the runner. Grab a hold of this end of this scroll here. And the guy runs for about 4 weeks. And it's in mini print. You've got to use a magnifying glass to read them. And they're side by side. And the thing is about a street wide. See, there's a lot of sins we commit. We don't even know we're sinning. See, you're a sinner. It's ingrained in you. And even your love has a sin thing in it. I mean, it's just... Yeah, that nature, that old nature dwells in you. Did you know that? Oh, no, I don't claim that at all. You don't have to claim it. It's just there. Don't claim anything. Claim Jesus. Claim the blood. You need it. Yeah, Father goes on. Father, judge me in that way. All right. And he goes on. Guilty. No, the verdict is in the minute I receive Jesus Christ. Not guilty. Not guilty by reason of insanity. Yeah, that would be good. No. I want to tell you something, friends. You're listening on the radio, and there's so much contention on this. So much fighting over it. Now I even see the moral majority now. They Jessica Hahn thing, they said, okay, now we're all done with her. She's in the same old rotten fix herself. Okay, throw her over on a heap too. Whoop! Okay. Then I got a card in the mail. Do you want to join this? Here's your card. Yes, moral majority. I want to be a moral majority person. I don't want nothing to do with it. Whoever said you were moral anyway? Don't speak more highly than you ought to of yourself, the Bible says. Your morality is Jesus. You don't have to pass out cards for people to join your club to be moral. God is the one that gives the increase in morality. The rest of them got dirty books hidden under their mattresses. Come on now. See, it's when we deal with a problem at hand that something happens. It's when we're honest with God that something happens. Well, next I hear someone saying on the radio, well, I'll forgive, but I'll have nothing more to do with that person, boy. I'll just disappear, like this woman you were talking about, Don. I'll disappear. I'll move out of town. Then they'll be sorry, boy. Poor old granny moving out of town. Oh, I'm taking the night train. Isn't there a song like that? And it's raining and granny is standing out there with her duffel bag. No one will help her. Well, that's true. There is a lot of people that don't help old people. But let's get into granny. Why is she so that way? Now, maybe this isn't true of this one we're talking about, but it's true of a lot of them. And so granny's out there and it's raining and her straw hat with a price tag hanging off the side and hanging there, and she's all by herself and she's out there with her bags, and then people put themselves in that situation and say, God, those people are mean to their granny. Huh? And then they start judging that person. So here's old granny out there. I'll move out of town. Then they'll be sorry. No, they'll probably rejoice. Where'd granny go? Oh, she went somewhere off into the sunset. Or he, Grandpa, went out somewhere off into the sunset. We don't know where he went. He was always a crazy old tiger. He took off. He's gone. Probably running a hot dog stand out there on the beach. You know, the guy's crazy. Most of my son-in-laws think I'm crazy. You know that? Yeah, they think I'm totally nuts. Well, that's true. I am totally nuts. Most son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws think that their parents are nuts. I'm just, the case I'm making here is that always when you get older, you whatever you do, it looks crazy. Huh? Do you ever go into a nursing home and they treat the person in there like they're 2 years old? No, 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 you can't. You be a nice boy or you won't get your oatmeal. You want your oatmeal, don't you? I know what I'd do if I was in there. I'd throw that oatmeal quick, boy. Ooh, are you hearing this? But anytime you do anything outside of the norm, you look crazy. This isn't normal for somebody to be down here loving to do this. This isn't normal. What's wrong with you? Are you touched? God, I don't know. Talk to the Lord about it. Maybe he made me this way. Says that I'll make you willing in the day of my power. Someone had to make me willing to do this. God knows I wasn't willing to do it in my flesh. Huh? Ministering to these huge, grand groups of people. I mean, look at the balcony, totally loaded. Yeah, preachers get bitter over that too, don't they? Why? Because their attention is focused on gathering a group under a certain set of rules and regulations, and that's how you hold people. A lot of times in a born-again situation, you hold them by rules and regulations and getting memberships out of them, and then give them a card and say, you're a moral majority, or you're a Sunday fundy, or you're somebody else. You see what I'm saying? Or we wear the funny hats, or we believe in water baptism. So do I, but that isn't the main issue. Is that the main issue? But I'll move out of town. I'll show them. Hey, don't do that. Stay there. Irritate them some more. I'm leaving on the night train. They'll be sorry. I won't show up. I'll never come back. Even young people do that. They'll be sorry when I'm gone. I'll be sorry when I die. I've heard people say that. When I'm dead and gone, then they'll be sorry. No, they won't. They'll be talking about where they're going to eat over your casket. Where do you want to go eat? I don't know. McDonald's? I don't care. Anything. Huh? Don't expect too much out of people. Don't expect too much out of your friends. Don't expect too much out of your enemies. Sometimes they can't give you as hard a time as your friends can. Now pray, you listening on the radio, the Lord's Prayer again. Father, forgive me as I forgive others. I forgive them, but from now on I will have nothing more to do with that person. So, Father, you forgive me in the same way. Forgive me, but have nothing to do with me anymore. I'll make it without you. That's a real stupid prayer, isn't it? Well, isn't that the Lord's Prayer? Isn't this what you're expecting of other people? Love me as I love others. Forgive me as I forgive. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. No, don't try to forget it. Don't try to patch it up or smooth it over. And don't shove it underneath your subconscious mind. Because at night it'll creep out. Your subconscious mind, it is a little like a little a Pandora's box that you're laying in bed. And that's why people have nightmares. They try to plaster over something and put all these things in their Pandora's box. And at night all of the subconscious has to come out or you'll blow up in bed. So it comes out and the fingers get in the cracks there and they push open the box and all the characters come out. All the resentments that are in your subconscious mind, all the fantasies that are in your subconscious mind that you don't confess, they come out. Playmate, come out and play with me. Bring your dollies three. It's like a doctor friend of mine. This is years ago. And this woman came, he said, he went to the grandfather's, that's the way it was, this is years ago, and he said, my grandfather told this woman that she was going to have some kind of a cancer or something cut out. It was on her leg. She says, no, I have a remedy, and I'm going to put a plaster over it. And he says, well, don't put a plaster over it. She says, no, it'll heal that way. I don't want it to be cut out. So she put the plaster over this thing. And you know what? It healed over, but she died of the poison that was on the inside. Don't plaster things over. Don't try to hide things. And put glad rags over them. Just get it out there. That's why confession is good for the soul. Because if it doesn't, see, it, and you try to keep it on the inside, it eats at you. It's not being honest with yourself, and if you can't be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with God. Or certainly with someone else. You plaster over it, and it looks like you're perfectly healed, but you're dying on the inside. You look fine on the outside, but you're dying on the inside. You're poison on the inside. You're full of the resentments and the hatred and, oh my God, and you're just all bound up. It's the quickest way to the grave. Now, angers and resentments don't need patching up. They need cutting out, don't they? Let me wind this up. Anger and resentments are poison. You ever hate somebody? Oh, I mean really hate them. And you did something to you and you got home after work and you're sitting in the rocking chair and you're rocking there. And you got a mad rock going on. Ever seen somebody in a mad rock? Or they're watching TV in a mad watch. They're slouched down. This is the mad watch when they're sitting like this, see. They're not relaxed. They look like they're relaxed, but their gut is all tight and everything. Somebody said something at work or confronted them or something like that and made a fool out of them, and so they harbor this on the inside. Okay. Dinner! And they're mad at the table, and they're mad, and they go to bed with this person. They lay in bed, and they're stiff as a board. Good night.
Yeah.
Anything wrong?
No.
Well, you didn't talk all the way through dinner. Didn't have nothing to say. Well, that's not like you. Do I have to be the same way all the time? Well, there is something wrong. Shut up! So all night they got this on the inside. Huh? And they don't sleep all night, and about the time it's time to get up, and Satan says, go to sleep, and they have one of these half awake, half asleep dreams, huh? Who'd you go to bed with? Your enemy. He says, you can be angry, but don't go to sleep on your anger. Did you ever try to go to sleep on your anger? Man, it'll throw you around the ring all night and beat you up. It'll be worse than on TV when they have these guys going, we're going to get up, we're going to show them guys a scientific wrestling, and you know how they carry on. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I know I'm going to get some letters out of this. Huh. Put some money in there. Okay, Matthew 18 and 23. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle with them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children, all that he had, and repayment to be made. And it goes on that the slave fell down before him. Oh, I got this family. Will you please forgive me and let me out of this thing? And he had compassion on him, and the Lord had compassion on him, and he let him go. And then a certain man owed him a few pennies. And the same situation came to him, and he wouldn't forgive him, and he had him thrown into the darkest, dankest prison. Is that the way to forgive? God says no. Freely, freely I have given to you, freely give it away. I forgave you everything, and you're going to have to forgive in the same way. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you? And his Lord moved, and we forget after that we get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and God does all kinds of things in our life. We get real legal, don't we? And that's legalist, by the way. This is written specifically for you, so that you remember from whence you came. And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. Oh, God. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you. If each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart, can we forgive as we are forgiven? Is there a lot of Christians out there right now that they have their 2 cents worth in about this, the television scam? Huh? Well, there's a lot of them out there. I wonder what they're going to do with Jessica Hahn now. Well, I'll tell you what they're going to have to do with her in the end is forgive her. No, I know there's a legalist out there. Well, no. It's not the way it is. She sinned against God. Well, is that in your business? Is it? I mean, let's get down to really picking this forgiveness thing apart. What are you going to do with Jessica Hahn now? Would you like to be in her situation now with all these mad Christians after you? I didn't say everything everybody does is perfectly right. But, Sir Legalist, Sir Vulture, what are you going to do with her? She's already made a mistake. Now, what are you going to do with Jessica Hahn? There's all kinds of situations here for God to show us that you have to show love and mercy and forgiveness. Now, what are you going to do with it?
Well, I think an example should be made. Probably a burning at the stake of some kind.
Well, whatever that you wish upon someone else. God is so beautiful. I just love the Word of God. I just love God because it's so beautiful. And there's so much. And God, you know, has a sense of humor. Do you believe that? A lot of people think God never laughs. It says in the Bible, in the original Greek, the laughter of the Lord is your strength. Well, what are you going to do with her? What are you going to do with Jim Baker? What are you going to do? Each one of them in their own turn. And legalists, listen to this. You're going to have to forgive them too. Publicly. At the great white throne of judgment. Every knee is going to have to bow. Every tongue is going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of love and mercy and total forgiveness and total salvation, eternal security. At what point does a person, are they unsaved? Well, do you know that? No, they're never unsaved once they're saved because they belong to the Father. The salvation, it says, is of the Lord alone. Leave it alone. God will deal with His children. You're not the Father. You're one of the children. Don't you hate it when you have a kid that's always snitching? Mommy, guess what they did? No! Don't they look like little devils when they come in like that? They look like worse than little devils than the little devils that are out there, right? And I just use that term. Otherwise, somebody will get another letter for that. Call my kid a devil, did you? No, the truth hurts. Makes you mad, too. Don't you hate that when you get one kid comes in and he always has all the news? Guess what they're doing now, Mom? Come on, Mom. Come on, bring your whip. Huh? And mother comes after, huh? See, the mother come. Huh? Yeah. Nothing worse than the snitch. Well, then I hear someone saying on the radio, well, people say, I hate sin. And I say that too. I say, good. And I pray against it. And I say, well, good. But do you give it up? Do you give up that one master sin, that unforgiveness, that disobedience that log jams your whole spiritual fruit tree growth? I was reading about Herod. Oh, he was so fascinated by doing good, and he so loved John. He was fascinated by it. But John asked him one day to give up something he didn't want to give up. And he just couldn't do it. He couldn't give up the long hair and the Susie chapstick lips and the legs and the face and the perfume and the giggle with the promise and the voice of Herdykins, and he just couldn't give up all that. And so there was no release. Are you hearing this? And so he had to chop the head off. Did that make the man any deader? Little boy was down here with his father, and he was in the basement of the church. I was talking to his mother and his father, and the little boy was sitting on his dad's lap. And he stole some candy. Where'd you get that candy? You got it over there. Did you get permission? No. He got caught. Oh, he cried. He wept. You know when a kid really cries and it looks so sincere? And he wasn't breathing too well. They were patting him on his back. Come on, are you okay? Great little actor. You know how I knew he was acting? Because the candy was still in his mouth. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
sorry. I said, I'm not going to say anything. And then the father said, are you sorry and you'll never promise never to do this again?
I promise I'll never do it again.
I said, fine, I'll spit out the candy. And the kid looked right at me and said, no! I made my point with the child. And I said, see, here's the same situation going on in your own family situation here. You hate the thing that's going on, but you can't spit it out. I mean, you hate it, and you weep bitter tears, but you can't spit it out. You're just like the kid here. He did everything but give it up. You cannot give up that argument. You cannot give up that hate and that mercy and that, you know, you cannot show that. So you can't spit out the thing to receive something better. And so if we want victory in closing here, we must decide not to let anything master us above serving the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And that isn't always easy. And I think, again, we must break down the walls that stand between us and God. And really, we must give ourselves up and let Jesus master us. And Jesus, friend, might just say this to you, leave all, leave your life, leave all that is dear to you, and hang on to what I have given you. Contrary to popular belief, Jesus Christ comes first. Serving God with all your heart, mind, and soul comes first. Surrender is the answer. Did you know that? Total surrender. Now, Mike is going into a resort situation, isn't it, Mike? And now it's up to the bank, isn't it? Well, I ministered some on banks, so don't expect too much out of them. But I mean, let's just say it this way, not just your situation, but I'll use you for the radio and tape ministry here. Let's just suppose that that doesn't work out. You are going to be defeated? No. God's got something better for you. You ever look at it that way? I have looked at things and I thought, well, now I'm getting into a great big thing here. Maybe this isn't such a great big thing. Maybe I shouldn't be in it. Mike, if it happens, it'll happen. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. You have yourself set for that. And I don't care how many people pray over us or give us a word or they see this and claim it and all of this stuff like that. The will of God in your life, if we can pray, not my will, but your will be done, and we just say, as much as is within us, we start to relax. Because what can enter into these deals, not just your deal, but any of our deals, pride can enter in. And then we just overextend ourselves, you know what I mean? We put on a kerchief and a cowboy hat and put six guns on and say, okay, now you'll give me what I want. Swivel hip guns and go in the bank and say, give it to me. I've been prayed over, and I've been prophesied over. You guys are the devil. Load them saddlebags up. Your wife is sitting out there on a horse. God's helper to you, backwards. Sitting on the horse facing the wrong way. Kids, you got to find some humor in this thing. Because you know what I mean? Because there's just so many people are just so sure of everything in your life for you. But what's God sure of? God is sure to give you love, mercy, and forgiveness. And the only thing we have to give up in any business venture, and I've been through a lot of business deals, a lot of them, and I come out of a Greek family with a lot of pride. We're talking about Sicilians? We're talking about Greeks that got pride. They got pride. And I know. And you know, where you're going to make the thing work.
Well, my dad say, my dad used to stand back and look at all his buildings and say, I am, he's about this tall, he said, I am the king. I am the king. You look around. Huh? Hey, you get a total release. You just, no, Jesus is the king. And you are subjects, right? You're all subjects. Subject to ridicule, slander, persecution, to be spat on, to be put on a cross, because you're in this world. I told a man coming down on the, going up on the elevator, I guess I said this, I'll say it again for the benefit of you guys that are here. And he was on there and he was a pretty dignified looking guy, real wealthy guy. And he was standing on the elevator there with his briefcase and he had the executive hang, you know what I mean? Like the executive 20-hour hang. I says, oh, you had a busy day too, I see. And it was like 11, 12 o'clock at night. Sometimes I wonder if it's worth it. Well, I looked at him and I said, what would you do if you didn't have the struggle? That's a total life, you know, is a struggle. And he said, yeah. He says, that's right. I says, have you got anything better to do? Not really, he said. Not really. And so then before the elevator stopped, we both tap danced. No. Well, it says rejoice in your suffering. Can you do that? I mean, if you can rejoice in your suffering, just think how much you can rejoice in your rejoicing. When good things happen, can you rejoice when you should be worried? I mean, the bank could say yes, Mike. You said yes? Sit down while you're talking to the bankers. You remember the woman that touched Jesus? Now close it. It's sort of like thronging or touching Jesus. And Jesus said, who touched me? And Jesus, they said, the people throng you. How can we know there's so many pressing in on you? See, there's a difference in thronging and touching Jesus. There's a difference in the claiming, thronging, pushing ourselves toward Jesus. I claim, I claim, I claim, I claim. There's a touching the hem of his garment. He is going to go for the one that touches, not the one that throngs and walks boldly into the throne rooms of God and knocks open the door and says, I command you, give me promise number 6,999 according to your word. You ever heard that kind of preaching? Totally off. Totally off. I wouldn't have the guts to do that, would you? Would you? People tell you to do that. But would you do it? Well, I'd push them in. No, you go first. Go on. Go ahead. You know it'll work, don't you? Get in there. I wouldn't do it. If they did that to my own natural dad. What's the matter? You crazy? Get out of here. You nut something? You dummy something? No, someone touch me. You want to touch Jesus? Say, Father, have your own way. I'd love to have this thing, but if it's not in your will cup, well, let's let me drink whatever cup there is, Lord. What's ever in the cup, let me drink it. And so to throng is wrong. But to touch means a whole lot. The woman touched him, it says, and that made the difference, didn't it? Not the superstition of the woman touching his garment. That didn't make her whole, no. Her faith made her whole. Faith that knowing that God would do his very best, whatever that it would be. God, you know what's best in my life. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane in my life and drink that cup.
I'm going to face my own Jerusalem. I want to bear that cross. And to bear the crown, I have to bear the cross. So I'm willing, Lord. A guy called the other day and says, it seems to me you do not believe in miracles. Well, I said, bent absolutes are God's miracles. Now, I know you aren't going to understand that. I said, because you think God absolutely hates sin. Those are God's absolutes. Well, he became sin, so he bent the absolute a little bit, didn't he? See, we're serving a sovereign God that'll do whatever he wants to do. And people don't believe that. Well, here's the will of God. It's very, very plain. No. Like a person falling from 50 stories. That's a bent absolute. That's a miracle, isn't it? And they didn't get hurt. People in a fire and they walk out. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Was that a bent absolute? They should have absolutely burnt up, right? See, God can bend his absolutes into a complete circle to satisfy his sovereignty. He hates sin, I said, but he became sin for all of you and me. And so God expects us to act out what we believe, and that's faith. I believe right now that God will do whatever he wants to do in my life. Father, have your own way. Oh, now you've set yourself up for being an example. I know that. Those are the words of Jesus Christ, aren't they? Not my will, but your will. Have your own way. We sing that song, don't we? Have thine own way. Have thine own way. We sing, you know. But do you mean it? Because there's very few that want to let, you know, allow God to have his own way. And he'll use you for an example. You might lose all your friends. Bucky boy. People might say things and slander your name, Bucky. They might leave you out there in left field, old guy. As an example. Jesus was an example to follow. What an example, I hear somebody say. But there's got to be some examples, an example, that will want to glorify God. And glorifying God is when you stand up during trials and tribulation, and though that you slay me, yet will I trust you. Someone has got to be that city set on a hill, a target for the A-bomb. Let me say this, and I promise I'll close so you can get off to your Arby's roast beef sandwiches. Faith to me is an adventure in the Spirit. Not just nodding my head yes, but I think it's giving our life, expecting trials. And you know, really, when you dedicate your life to the struggle, then pleasure becomes secondary. When you dedicate your life to the struggle of life, pleasure becomes secondary. So when pleasure becomes secondary, when pleasure comes your way, you can really enjoy it because you didn't have to go for it and work for it. And then it isn't pleasure anymore. You had to create it. So now that struggle is the main issue and you're in the struggle, when pleasure comes your way, you really appreciate it. When you're in a mission ministry and you're always struggle, 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 and then a surprise comes your way and pleasure comes your way, you really appreciate it. Because it wasn't your God. It was the special extra blessing God put to you. Because you were willing to do first the suffering and then the joy, the Bible says. So what, in closing, what would you do without the struggle? Don't you understand that God can use you for his glory to be used in this situation as an example. And if you're willing to do that and drink that cup and bear that cross, there's joy for you. Do you believe that? If you believe that, and Carol or any of you in here, Jim, all of you in here, if you believe that, and you don't go by what you see right here, and you're willing to be used as an example of going on, whoa, are you ever in for a great, great blessing? And that's not negative. No. Struggle has to become first and foremost, and then joy automatically becomes secondary. Sometimes I'm so excited about doing certain things, someone says, hey, you want to go up in fellowship and have this or that? We'll go up and have a pizza. And they're standing there, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, it sounds like it'd be all right, but I'm having more fun here. No, I say, I want to stay down here and clean the restrooms because I'm really into it.
There you have it. That was episode 308. That was part two, the conclusion to Untangling. Be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, the show notes, and scripture links. You can also find the podcast by going to www.pastorpaul.org. Up at the top of the homepage, you'll find links to the blog, the podcast, Twitter, YouTube. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to join us now next Friday for part one of The Sheep. Have a great week, and God bless you.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton. Might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey. Might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar. You might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor. Sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.